Welcome to the Edge of the Headlights podcast. My name is Rob, and with me tonight, like normal, is cranky Marty. How are we doing tonight, Marty?
I am actually cranky, man. I have been all fucking weeks.
I'm waiting for you to grow out your beard and like have a little dwarf costume on. Little person costume on.
Right. The fantasy dwarf costume. Yeah. No, man, I haven't. I've been fucking short-tempered pretty much all week. It's like Monday afternoon.
So what are you drinking tonight there in that giant can that looks like 3 of 10?
It's a nice kombucha.
Kombucha?
A friend of mine makes. No.
A little boba?
That's disgusting. Hey, boba, I'll drink. Kombucha, I can't do it. I just can't do it. No, beautiful a little Modelo.
It's so good.
I do like Mexican beer, man. Yeah. It's so good. Dos Equis.
I've been kind of playing Marty with alcohol lately the last couple of weeks because we actually have a trip coming up here in November.
Hey, that's a ways out.
And first week of April, we're going to Vegas. Me and Marty are. We're going to get married and get all gussied up. If there's any of our Vegas listeners that listen to us and like to meet, message us on Instagram.
Right.
We'll gladly meet up with you for beer, gamble a little bit. Marty will wear his pink tutu.
Yeah. Now we're going to be out there for almost a week.
Almost a week. We got out there Sunday the 31st, and we don't leave till whatever day Thursday's on. Friday. We actually Friday morning at Friday morning. The butt crack of dawn, which sucks.
It makes sense. I mean, we leave Sunday like super fucking late. Really fucking late.
Well, these cool pictures when we come into Vegas, get some cool pictures the strip lit up.
I do like flying in at night in Vegas. It is cool. You can see everything.
It's like the other two. I probably said this before, but I'm going to say this story now. I've been to Vegas 8 times.
Jesus.
But I've only seen the strip 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
The first 5 times I didn't make it out of the airport.
Right. Yeah, no, it's
alcohol and flying and me don't mix.
Right. Yeah,
And there is a drunk tank in the airport. If no one believes me, there is one, and I refuse to go back there.
Yeah, I've done that. I don't need that.
Nope.
Been there. Yeah, no, this is like my 4th trip, I think, out there.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of funny because there are a couple people that are going out that have never been out there.
Yeah.
So that's always kind of interesting to watch.
Yeah, we got 2 newbies going out there that never been out there and be like, oh, they're like, look at the pretty lights.
Yeah,
it gets to go after a while.
it is always really neat, you know, because it's like, holy shit. Yeah, forget how much everything is in your face.
And it's always changing too out there.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about Vegas.
Well, there's even places I've stayed that don't exist anymore. The Riviera, we were there one time, really cool. Doesn't exist.
Well, the Mirage, when we go there, not the Mirage.
No,
the Tropicana. Yeah, that's actually the last day it's open is April 1st.
Yep,
April 2nd, it's done.
Yep.
They're making ways for a baseball team. Las Vegas A's or something where they played like 7 innings and they got the hockey puck and stuff like that.
I don't know. It's something weird.
They got some refs going on in it. I don't know. I don't watch sports.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. You know what we haven't done in a while? We haven't talked about time travelers' predictions for 2024.
Oh, yeah.
We got to hit these up.
It's one of those we always go through there. And we're like, oh, we need to make a note of this. But then nothing ever comes of it.
Yeah,
so you're like, man.
I'm just going to do them at random. I got like 6 of them. There's the first one. May 6, 2024, a group of 4 teenagers discover a portal that allows them to travel to different galaxies.
Hmm.
I think we heard that last year. Never happened.
Yeah, it was later in the year it was supposed to occur.
Yeah. Then you got June 15th, 2024, a 700-foot tall tsunami. I said the word right. Yes.
Yay.
Hits California, mainly San Francisco.
Okay.
Yep. July 12th, 2024, an earthquake opens a 5-mile deep trench, releasing many species thought to be extinct.
Which would be a cool,
awesome.
Cool present for me.
That'd yeah, it would nice. Be. Is that your birthday or what?
Just before it, yeah.
Yeah. Then February 17th, the first ever F6 tornado hits Houston, Texas.
Oh, sorry, Houston.
Yeah. March 31st, the day we leave for Vegas, 2024. We're safe. This is what's going to happen. We're safe.
Oh, okay.
On that day, a passenger airliner disappears while traveling over Bermuda Triangle. We're not getting to be close, so we're good.
We get there, and it's like, oh, yeah, we're sorry. We're going to have to reroute down here through Florida. Oh no, we're not.
February 13th, 2024. This is kind of cool one. The sky turns a very dark shade of purple for 2 minutes, and whoever looks at it goes blind for weeks. It will later be called the violet flash. It is not discovered why it happened until June of 2024.
I'm going to be watching the skies, kids.
Yep.
Sorry, can't come to work. I can't see shit.
And there was also a mention of like the first Category 6 hurricane hitting Florida.
Nice, nice, nice. That'll be fun for
them. The funny thing is, scientists said the Category 6 has already happened.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's actually had like 4 or 5 of them.
Oh.
Yeah, and basically, let's go through the categories. Category 1, you have a wind speed of 74 to 95 miles an hour. Typical summer day in South Dakota.
Yeah, that's today.
Category 2 is 96 to 110 miles an hour. Category 3 is 111 to 128. Category 4 is 130 to 156. Category 5 is 157 or higher.
Right.
So now they're saying a Category 6 actually struck in the Philippines in 2013. It had sustained winds of 196 miles per hour.
Wow.
And a storm surge of almost 25 feet, killing 6,300 people and leaving 4 million homeless.
Wow. Well, you think about that, 63 feet, dude. Like, that's fucking unreal. Or
25 feet.
25.
Yeah.
That's just...
That's, like, taller than his house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think it's, 25 foot. No, that's a lot, dude.
Yeah.
That is a whole fucking lot.
Then in 2015, October, winds reached speeds of 216 miles an hour at sea, then dropped before making landfall in Jalisco, Mexico as a Category 4 storm. September 2016, the storm moved between the Philippines and Taiwan before making landfall in eastern China. Its winds reached 196 miles an hour.
Jesus.
November 2020, made landfall in the Philippines with winds estimated at 196 miles an hour. April 21st, reached wind speeds of 196 over the ocean, tracking east of the Philippines. Its max winds were the highest ever recorded for a storm from January to April anywhere in the world.
Wow.
So that tells me I'm not going to the Philippines.
Right.
Sorry, hairless Sasquatch, I'm not going with you to the Philippines.
Man. Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, there are a lot of those areas. It's like, oh, it's really pretty over here.
You're like 2 feet above sea level.
Until the inclement weather.
And we have listeners in the Philippines. We're not making light of what you go through.
No, man.
It's just that I don't want to go there.
No, I don't need to deal with that.
No.
Yeesh, man. No, that's just insane. Goddamn.
I think we should go there, Marty.
I mean, I have no problem going there. I wouldn't mind.
I think it's like a 16-hour flight, isn't it?
Yeah, at least. No. I was going to say it was like 18 to Tokyo, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're the world traveler. I haven't been to Tokyo.
Yeah, it's, yeesh, man. Yeah, that is a long run. It really is. And I'd like to go to the Philippines. There's a lot of cool shit there. Just go when it's not in the stormy season. Really is your trip to any of those places.
But it's not stormy season, it's like earthquake season, isn't it? Right. Does Japan have like an earthquake season?
It's all year.
Okay.
They have earthquakes all the time. Yeah. It's unreal.
Well, it doesn't matter. Our government, actually scientists, this is another section where scientists are super smart. They need to watch more movies. They just recently took, get this, they took Chat, GPT-4, GPT-3.5, Claude 2, Llama 2, Chat and GPA-4 base in a simulated conflict scenario involving 8 autonomous nation agents.
Oh, Jesus.
Basically, folks, I'd say they'd put a bunch of war games together with all these AI.
Right.
First of all, have they ever seen that classic Matthew Broderick movie, War Games?
Right. Of the same name. Fucking War Games.
The same thing. Jesus. No, they figured out which ones are more aggressive. Chat GPT-4 is like, he stood out because his whole thing is, hey, we have nuclear weapons. Fucking use them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They don't like it? We'll just use nuclear weapons.
Yeah, it's like playing Civilization 6 where you're like, you know, even if you're Gandhi, you're like, I developed nuclear weapons. I'm going to win. Yeah, drop a couple and everybody's fine. They'll fall in line.
I don't understand why scientist type people are still doing this.
Right.
They need to reach. We're going to find these guys. Put them all in a room. I'm like, we can watch several dozen movies in order. I'm like, this is why you don't do this.
You're right. These are bad plans. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have like nuclear weapons? So I'm like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. But when you start teaching them that, make sure they don't ever get access.
Yeah.
You know, to the actual stuff.
They probably did. It's like, let's see if they can actually use it.
I bet they can't figure out how to turn that on. Yeah. Oops-a-doodle.
Yeah. Your dog has a serious attitude.
Oh, yeah. She's been a twat lately.
Yeah. She's like kind of bad. Looks like a Tootsie Roll. She's like round.
Awful. Horrible
animal. No, it's like, no, I left the house today and the wife's like, you're going out in that? No, I'm glad no one can see my outfit. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere to impress anybody. I'm just going over to see Marty.
Right.
And she's like, you're not wearing one piece of clothing that matches. I'm like, yes, I like looking like a homeless dude. It's fine.
Yeah, right. And to that point, I don't even fucking notice. So, I mean, I was like, all right, hey, man.
That's not nice. I did this outfit just for you.
I put this
the most garish thing I could throw together. Right. This is a picture, folks. I'm wearing yellow dudes, purple sweatpants, a green shirt. Yes. And I walked over in a blue jacket.
Right. No, you gotta understand some of my friend group through my life where that was just like their regular fucking attire. So I don't even fucking bat an eye at it. What do you do? What do you do? Yeah, no, I never pay attention. It's like going to work. It's like, yeah, I'm throwing that on.
Yeah.
Why? Going to work is going to be covered in shit. Who cares?
No, where the heck is that at?
I'm not just impressing anybody.
Jeez, Pancake. Relax. I'm just looking for my paperwork. There we go. And as a side note, like, we don't have any in this podcast. It's the first time we're doing a side note. Yeah. All our listeners, need to go check out this new podcast that came out. It's called the Internet News One.
Yeah.
One of our friends does it, and you got to go check out what the Reverend's going to talk about.
It is
good.
It's fucked up.
You start from the beginning. You're in at the ground level. It's like India and all that. It's rough, but it gets better with every episode. Trust me, the Reverend's doing better every episode.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
And it's funny.
Pretty irreverent look at things. It's good. It's a good time.
If you listen to this podcast, you'll probably like this
guy. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just very, very irreverent look at all the things. It's just like randomly looking up internet news.
Like
it's
do.
Good. Yeah, we're it's good. Fun.
But it's called the Internet News One. Go check it out. Give this guy some support. Say, hey, Edge of the Headlights set you.
It's funny. We're almost a better endorsement than Large Marge saying it, but not quite.
Make sure you give him 5 stars, rate it, share it with all your friends or enemies.
Right.
Mostly either one, just share it. Just share it. So what are we going to talk about tonight?
I have no idea.
I just spoke Piglet. We're going to...
Well, what a coincidence. I'm a pig.
I never said that, Marty. I never said you were a pig. I wasn't even implying that.
I will.
Okay. We're going to talk tonight about interdimensional UFOs versus extraterrestrial UFOs.
Yeah.
And this is a really, I don't know how to explain it. There's so much intermingling. I would have to say nowadays there's more of a divide about the nuts and bolts versus paranormal, you want to call it?
Yeah. No, I would agree with that.
No. Because first of all, interdimensional UFOs are basically like sound. It's not aliens, and it's from a different dimension. UFOs are aliens from another planet.
Yeah, you're extraterrestrial or ultra-terrestrial is what you're looking at. But as you said, extraterrestrial is from somewhere else. They are traveling a far distance to get here. Whereas ultra-terrestrial, you're looking at either a parallel dimension, time travel, or creatures that have been here.
Or are already still here.
And are still on the planet. There's a whole bunch of little subgenres in ultra-dimensional.
Let's cover the easy one first.
Right.
The extraterrestrials.
Yeah. That's your stereotypical. The little green men come. A lot of your stories, like the classic not gonna say abduction, but interaction stories are, oh, these guys are from the Pleiades. They came down and gave me a message somewhere from out on another planet, which I would say for many years was the prevailing theory on what these things are, what these visitors are. They're from another planet. As we ourselves have over years, like the subject itself, have kind of changed.
Well, I want to say there is a few cases out there that ring true of being extraterrestrials. That one we covered where this guy gets abducted with three blocky robot looks. That to me screams extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Because if you're coming from a vast distance, you're not going to send biological material.
Right.
You'd want to send something that can shut off for 1,000 years or whatever till it detects life on this planet. Then it goes there. It's all automated.
Right.
I would think if there was extraterrestrials coming, they'd be more in a robot form than biological, like meat and potatoes like us. Yeah.
And like I've said many times, anymore, my idea of most of them being extraterrestrial is just it's infeasible.
Yeah.
Like at right now, unless they have some super technology as far as like a zero energy type of engine so that it costs nothing to create infinite fucking power to be here in a short amount of time, or space folding wormholes, I just don't see it.
Because
being as
why likely. Would you send a guy in a spaceship with Gary driving and two other guys
right.
vast amounts of distance, like, hey, we're going to stop here, pick up a rock and leave.
Right.
We're probing some hillbilly.
If you're doing like, they could be in cryosleep. But you're not going to put all that technology into cryosleep to send someone to a planet just to survey, wake them up, and then put them back to sleep to come back.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense to do that. The only time you're going to be looking into cryo is if you're looking at, say, colony ships or generational ships.
Well, if you look at, like, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, that's a perfect example. That spaceship there starts off small, and it just gets massive, and then they're like, yeah, you got to go away. But that's what I picture coming to Earth. If the aliens are going to come here, they're going to come in some massive colony ship, generational ship. They're just going to send Fred and George and Greg in the UFO. Right.
Like it just doesn't seem like a good use of your resources.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, like I said, you have that super technology where, oh, yeah, we have this drive that's basically a tiny black hole, like Event Horizon.
Yep.
Where it's like, yeah, we can actually transport through space. It costs, virtually no energy to run. It's really unfeasible to me to do that. Robots, on the other hand, being sent out, some kind of robotic, would make more sense if you're sending from thousands of light years
Centauri.
Away. Yeah, just like, okay, we'll send these guys out. As soon as they pick up any kind of weird sequence, we'll start up a startup sequence, scan. If it's just a random thing, it goes back into coast mode, gets closer to something. Okay, now they activate. Here's their programming. This is what they're doing. At least some semblance, I'm sure, of a rudimentary AI so that they can make judgment calls on what to pick up and do. But yeah, that makes more sense to me as far as extraterrestrial goes. Mm. Now, as a kid and even into my 20s, I was all for like, fuck yeah, aliens. Yeah, they're coming here, man. But yeah, then when you look into like just the realistic logistics of doing it, it's like it
doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, if you're going to spend that kind of resource, you're going to send either a colony ship to come over and take over, or you're just going to send a war fleet to take over. I mean, if you're going to put that kind of resource into it.
Or you send a colony ship like, hey, this basically do the gentle takeover. And I'm like, folks, I'm sorry. This is just my thinking. It's like my opinion. If somebody covers that vast of distance, they're not here to be friendly. They may act friendly.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be like, they're going to slightly inclined, like, hey, we cover this fast distance. We have a lot better technology than you. Let us show you how to do things our way.
Right. Yeah, well, no, we'll help you.
They'll assimilate you into the fold.
And if you don't, then it's like the Borg. you didn't want to join us. Well, here's your options.
Yep.
There's your little colony island. You guys go over there. You don't want to live with us.
So that's good luck. That's basically a take on extraterrestrial, but ultra-terrestrials are really interesting because anytime you see like a flesh and blood creature, like the bird people, the tall Nordics, the grays, in my opinion,
the reptilians. And you go down the list.
Yeah, man. You go down the list of dwarf people. Yep. Marty's favorite.
Yeah.
Basically, them are ultra-terrestrials. They're just from another dimension, yeah, right on the same timeline next to us.
Right.
And they're just coming over and just like, yeah, this is where we know all the landscape and everything. They already know what the terrain.
Yeah, for the most part. It. Yeah, it's the same.
It's the multiverse theory is what it boils down to.
It's like Sliders. It's like, yeah, this is the same planet. Yeah, this has changed because something went wrong there. But yeah, it's the lakes are still there. You know, these things are basically in the same locations.
Yeah.
So yeah, most of them, yeah, anything living like that is probably dimensional. And that is really kind of my thinking on a lot of this too, is kind of where I've leaned the last few years getting into that.
Yeah. Because there is one case that really stands out to me for the ultra-terrestrials. It was the Eagle River incident. You ever heard of that? It happened in April 18th, 1961. A gentleman by the name of Joe Simonton met three dark-skinned humanoid aliens, and he said they look Italian. The Italian-looking people, aliens.
Yep.
But he said he knew they weren't humans. They were just very similar-looking to humans.
Right.
And they're wearing dark blue or black uniforms with turtleneck collars. Joe, basically, their ship needed some water. And he gave him some water. Yep. They turned around and gave him, like, this cosmic pancake, everybody calls it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's a buckwheat pancake. And NICAP took it, and they did testing on it. They found two interesting things. One, no salt whatsoever.
Hmm.
Not one bit of salt in it. And it was made of buckwheat, but the buckwheat is indigenous to, like, way over in, like, in the Middle East.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
They did the testing because he gave it to him, and they did the testing. I'm like, yeah, this buckwheat is buckwheat, but not from North America.
Right. It shouldn't be here. Certainly not in 1961.
Yeah.
You know?
See, that's the case. I always say, this is ultra-terrestrials because this is from a different timeline. I don't know if that's a proper term, but timeline or dimension right next to ours?
Yeah. That's
because they have advanced technology, and I'm like, yeah, it just makes sense.
Right. And there again, you get into crazy stuff. Is it a multiversal where it's kind of the idea of every decision we've made has been made? Or are they its own planet having its own things going on, not connected to us other than we are just right next to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Which will, I think, vastly change what you're dealing with. I am a multiversal believer, but I just with as crazy as all the quantum stuff ends up getting, I think it's possible to have the multiverse string theory kind of thing where it's like, okay, you've made this decision, all of them have been made, all these things exist, but it's on a different level perhaps than what we're dealing with here, where this is actually physical places that are just separated by a plane from where we are. Like I said, which will change things drastically with what you will run into.
See, but I think also, if you look at this, one of the precursors to this is CERN. Did you hear about CERN recently? They're doubling the size of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're asking for money to double the size of it, if not triple.
Huh.
So I'm like, you figure that, you're throwing that much power at something.
Yeah.
It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I understand they're finding all the exotic material and all that.
Oh, yeah. Atoms. Yeah.
But what's the practicality of it? The practicality of it is maybe this is how the ultra-terrestrials from a different timeline or dimension came over. It's like, hey, we have certain, we know that's a good thing. Then you go start skipping through other places like Sliders.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome TV show, no matter what.
Right. And it's another one of those things. I think that is one of those moments. Much like on a cosmic level, like the first nuclear blasting is a gigantic beacon if there are other things watching. As soon as you start messing with things like the collider, I think it is a big light up beacon to everything else out there, be that out in space or dimensionally next to us, that goes, oh, okay, we got to pay attention to this. Yeah. That's a big thing. That's a big jump there.
Because as Dimension 22B, they did that, and it didn't end so well. Mm-hmm. But 23B, they turned out good because we helped them a little.
Right, and there's some of that. I kind of wonder if there isn't kind of a... I question, is there kind of an overarching federation, if you will, that's watching over all of it and being like, okay, keep an eye on these guys. Once they get to this point, if they haven't destroyed themselves or potentially harmed another dimensional plate and we have to get rid of them, maybe they can join us at this point. I don't know. It's just really, there's so much there. It's like, unfortunately, a lot of it's just unknown, or it's just like these theories.
But we know all that stuff. We're professionals. Right. We can speculate with the best of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. But Ultra-Terrestrial is, and you don't really realize how vastly spiderwebbed out the ideas on this thing are until you really start actually looking into it.
Yeah.
Because on the surface, it's like, okay, yeah, it's something that's dimensionally popping over here or something that's coming from outer space. Yeah, pretty simple subject. No, it goes into so much more. There's, like I said, you have the theories where it is a side world to us, just dimension over, people visiting. You also have the theory that a lot of what we're running into are, in essence, if not our progenitors, they have been here a long, long time and are just staying hidden and just kind of watching what's going on. Like a lot of people in this type of theory have said, yeah, all these things through the past, these things are amorphous, if you will. They can change shape. If not fully change shape, they can make you see what you want to see.
Yep.
Or what you believe you will see, which explains all through time sightings we've had, be it fairies, be it, you know, ghost activity. They're not. This is what they think that you want to see, so that is what that's how you're representing them. But these are all the same things.
Yeah, like it goes through the whole gamut. It's like Bigfoot, even Loch Ness Monster's thrown in there.
Yeah.
It's like anything we see that is not normal, like human looking, either no matter what your skin color, anything else besides that or an animal that we know exists, that is what ultra-terrestrials have been called. Like from Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, Chupacabra. Any Mothman was a big one.
Yep. That's even going back to some of the angelic sightings from long ago.
No, we explained that last episode. Okay, right. That's just time travelers with the coronavirus.
Right. The old coronavirus.
I figured myself when I was listening last week, I said coronavirus so many damn times.
I know.
And you didn't correct me?
No, I'm just like, he'll get it. He'll say it right eventually.
And I never did, I don't think. I almost typed that into the episode.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, we've been programmed for 4 years at this point to worry about it. But yeah, no, even the angelics, it's like, oh, they had this, they came down with these healing rods. Fae also had magic rods that they used, the magic wands. Everything from vampires, all these stories are, according to this theory, is these beings that have been watching over the planet for eons, from the beginning. I know, like, some people have said, you know, well, because, like, you had even, like, 60s and 70s, especially once you got into, like, the 80s, a lot of the encounters with aliens would involve them showing people videos of catastrophic shit, you know, all this horrible stuff. And you know, hey, we got to take care of this. This stuff is bad. We can't pollute. We can't do all this. And as a warning, and I guess if this was your planet originally, you're seeding it, that is something you would want to watch out for and warn people not to do. And some people said, well, why aren't they doing something? And the response to that is they are. They're manipulating things in our world to put these things how they want them.
Yep.
If you can look like whatever you want and do whatever you need to, and you've been here for, you know, tens of thousands of years doing stuff, you're probably pretty good at mixing in it and
not being
affecting
seen
what you want
when
you need to. But yeah, it's an interesting concept. I don't want to shoot that idea down outright, even though I'm like, oh, I do think some of these monsters are real. But there again, is that why they're real? You know, are they something else? Yeah. Is it how we each generation starts perceiving it?
But if you look at it, no, too, there's like some of these UFO sightings. We'll stay with that. Like, we're,
all right,
we'll say UFOs is a broad term. There's been sightings of some really weird shit flying in the sky.
Yeah.
There's been manta rays. It's a big thing, like the cryptids of the corn with the flying mushrooms and that. And I'm why couldn't they be like, the manta rays, the flying mushrooms?
Yeah, the jellyfish.
Jellyfish, there we go. Not the mushrooms.
Yeah.
It's just like stuff that's like, if you look at jellyfish in general, they're eternal. They are they're eternal animal on the planet.
There are a few of them, especially that are, they potentially regenerate.
Definitely. Forever. Yeah. And all it's it does wild. Is, all it does is take one little spark. It's like, hey, I've had all these memories. We don't know. They're alien. That's an alien. That is an alien. Jellyfish are aliens.
Right.
Because did you actually know there's like four different types of manta rays?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
And this let me down. I'm like, I'm going to tell Marty there's four different types of manta rays. Not fine. Yeah, shut me down.
Rays are, I love rays. Rays are bad.
But there's been reports of them flying through the sky. Yeah. And I'm like, why can't, it's like, there's so much weird shit that you see flying around and on the ground. It's like, and they're there, then they're gone.
Right.
Like, why is that not from a different dimension that's just parallel to ours? It makes it makes more sense. And like, hey, they're actually a living population. I'm like, no. They're here for a little bit. They come in, go back in.
Yep. Then, it might not even be intentional.
Yeah.
You know, they're just slipping through and don't realize that they can do it. That's been my theory on like, a lot of the I don't remember what the actual term they use for them, but yeah, like the cloud living creatures.
Yeah,
that is my theory in them is that it is interdimensional. They're posting in and out. It's not a ghost. It is this thing from a parallel dimension popping in. That's why you don't see them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We have enough planes and everything else going in the skies that we've got a pretty good idea of most of what's living in our skies.
Excuse me.
Unless you're looking again at a massive cover up to hide these, but you would think more of these would be seen by the amount of just commercial flights we have flying around the world, you know, at any given time. I can understand in 1800 being like, oh man, there might be a whole bunch of them up there. But in this day and age, we would have run into them countless times.
Yeah.
You know, we would have issues with them going through cloud cover, doing anything. So, I mean, at any given point, I see planes flying over here, and we're in the middle of nowhere.
We're a flyover state.
Yeah, constantly there are planes. That many hours in the air, there would be more stories and interactions with these if they were something physically living there 24 hours a day in the clouds, in the sky.
Yeah,
I just don't buy that. Popping in from another dimension for 10 minutes? I can get that. I can see that.
It's so weird because I wanna believe in extra. I know there's life out there in the universe.
Yes.
Somewhere there has to be life out there on a different planet. They're finding new planets like in the honey Goldilocks zone all damn time. But there needs to be something more that what we're seeing. It's just not from a different planet. It's something closer.
Right.
Maybe the moon.
Yeah, perhaps. And that's the thing with some of these. And I know some people, because a lot of times I will say, I don't actually, 99% of the things coming down here, I don't think are from another planet, like out in space. But that doesn't mean that I don't believe there is shit out in space.
Yeah.
At this point, just the basic numbers and concepts, unless you're somebody that believes everything out there is made up to start with.
And the world's only 6,000 years old.
Right. And if you don't believe any of those planets are actually planets out there, well, then, yeah, I can understand you don't believe it. But anybody else who sees just even the basic numbers of how many planets, suns, everything. Well, like I said, I actually had a picture just today came across one of my feeds, and it was a picture of the Milky Way. And there's a little tiny circle. They're like, this little spot in the Milky Way, all the stars you see in the night sky are just from that circle. None of the rest of this stuff you can see with the naked eye. That's how much shit there is out there, you know, and the idea that there wouldn't be multiple other planets even in the Milky Way galaxy that aren't capable of supporting some kind of life. And there again, like, you run into that same issue of when are you starting, when is that civilization dying? There is a chance that there have been 30 major civilizations in the Milky Way that have come and gone before we even were a speck. Mm-hmm. You know, time, when you start dealing with this much cosmic space, is a big factor on things. Like, there are things that, like I said, there could be a massive, the greatest technology the galaxy has ever seen, and it's been long gone before dinosaurs were even on this planet. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's the timing for us to coexist is really hard. But the idea that there isn't anything out there and just the sheer vastness of stars and planets that are around each one of those stars, it's more idiotic to think that there couldn't be. You know what I mean? It just, the statistics show that there has to be stuff out there. But that doesn't mean I think it's here.
No.
You know, it hasn't visited us. It's out there also going, man, having stories about some things that are visiting them. Which then again could be interplanar hitting their planet, thinking that it's that weird star they saw out there.
See, but I could hear somebody saying, well, there's been like reports of really weird aliens coming on ships.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just like saying, well, let's say you have a different dimension that's running parallel to ours.
Yep.
And maybe that dimension actually had aliens show up at one time.
Right.
And they're like, hey, this is what we have to offer you. And like, this is what our possibilities of our previous, like, more Stone Age type people look like.
Right.
Because there's that one UFO aliens where these kids saw, like, in Italy, them three cyclops.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that is an alien body. And I'm like, that's nothing like you can describe naturally. It kind of looked like Zurg from Futurama.
Yeah.
That's what I picture in my mind, but with just one eye.
Yep.
I'm like, that could be a dimension where aliens actually made it to Earth, and they're like, hey, we'll give you this, and then here, let's show you how to go next door.
Right. Well, some of that stuff, too, I know some people are like, well, you know, if they're growing parallel to us, wouldn't we have the same technology? Well, maybe not. There are some of theirs, depending on what's going on, maybe they never had dinosaurs. Dinosaurs got wiped out faster. The prevalent species evolved quicker.
Maybe they didn't have the Dark Ages.
Right. There are a multitude. If they were never introduced to anything like the bubonic plague at the time, it would change drastically the amount of people there, where they're at, what levels they're at.
Yeah.
Anything.
Because sometimes when you don't have anything to knock you back, you naturally you're going to excel farther.
Yep.
But eventually that's something to knock you back is going to hit you at one point or another. And it may be like crossing over to this dimension, like, who are these hillbilly guys?
Yeah.
They come here and like, let's go back.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Let's
need
get
that.
A sample quick and go back.
Yeah, right. We don't need these guys. But yeah, no, I mean, it's there are a multitude of things on these other worlds that could have changed.
No, but looking with the technology and that, like I said just a little bit ago, you're going to get knocked back. But if you don't have that knockback, you have nothing but to excel.
Right.
And I think, in my opinion, they're ones that we see 99%, if not 99.99% of abduction and all that, is that they're ultra-terrestrials. They're not.
Yes.
Or do you want to call them dimensional or whatever?
Right. Whichever way you want to look at it.
And some may look like demonic and all that, because that's a big term that's thrown out there, too. Like, oh, they're demonic.
Yep.
Demonic is, in my opinion, is basically good versus evil,
yes.
Which it is. You have good people and you have bad people.
Right.
If you have a timeline or a dimension where they're full of a bunch of assholes, then we're going to be demonic people. Because they're the one that comes over.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that probe Billy Bob and Joe Ray and out in the swamp.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know why we're doing this. It just seems like an asshole thing to do. So we're just going to probe you.
Yep.
Because if you really think about probing, people got, I got anally probed. What purpose does that serve?
Right.
Let's be honest.
I don't,
unless you're getting some type of freaky enjoyment out of it. I don't care. Each to their own. But I'm like, if I'm coming from billions of miles away, light years away, I'm not going to come here and anal probe somebody.
It, right. I'm not mutilating cows. I'm not, you know what yeah. I mean? I'm not doing any
See, of See, the whole cow mutilation gets tied into this too, because yeah. if you're from a different dimension and you have a problem with your cows, and you know it's not a, all the time cows are not mutilated 24/7.
No.
It runs in spates yeah. or spats or whatever they want to call yeah. it. I think like with that, they're like these interdimensional people are coming like, oh shit, our meat source is dying. We need to get better genetic material in it and say, hey, there we go. Or we got disease. These guys don't have deal. Let's see if they got an immunity to it.
Yeah.
It'd make more sense than aliens coming from God knows
yeah,
where.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they're getting a heads up. Like, go check out Earth 23. They have really good cattle things there. They're edible. You're going to like them.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like some of that, too, even with abductions. You have a lot of them. Go under this idea that the ones who are visiting do not see us as equals.
No.
To some extent, which is why you do have, much like we do with animals when we track and release them, evidence of tagging of people who have been abducted.
Yep.
We do the same thing. Like and it's always been played off as a joke, but it is valid. You take the point of view of, say, a shark or a fish who's been pulled out of their world up into a light with these weird creatures. They poked them at stuff. They fucking did this and that. And
gave it was a painful. New hearing.
Yeah. And then I was all of a sudden back in my world, but I was, you know, 5 leagues from where I was. Mm. It's very similar to what abductions are. It's something pulls you out of the world you know. You're in new lights that you don't understand. You don't see what's going on. There's pain. There's a lot of times marking. If there's an anesthesia like we do with some of these animals, because you have to because they're big yeah. enough, they have missing time. They're confused with what they saw. You know, Billy Bob, the sea lion's like making fun of Jimmy. He's like, no, man, I swear I have vague memories of these things with weird arm things poking at me. It's like, oh man, you're crazy. But yeah, it's very much a parallel to abduction experiences. It's very similar.
Well, let's say, you know, you mentioned like Betty, you kind of vaguely mentioned Betty and Barney Hill.
Right.
And the interesting thing about there is I think that wasn't aliens. I'm pretty sure it was ultra-terrestrials.
Yes.
Because there was humans, people that look like you and me mixed in with these aliens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I think everybody's distracted by like, well, they showed this like Alpha Centauri thing on the wall. The government does shitty shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this actually may be because this is around the same time where the UFOs went over Washington.
Yes.
Prior than this, shortly yep. after this started happening. That could have been them like saying, hey, we're from a different dimension. We're pretty close to you, but we're going to tell you what to do.
Right.
But we need to start abducting your people because they had the gray aliens. There's three different types of aliens. There's yeah. humans, the gray aliens, and the taller
yep.
aliens that were looked human but weren't human.
Yeah, they were much more similar to human than the grays.
Yep.
But they're still off. Like their eyes.
Similar to what
were
Travis Walton saw.
Yeah.
And I'm so
yeah,
pissed at very. The hairless Sasquatch for not knowing that. Remember when he was on here? He's like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, you need to hook us up.
Right, Travis man. Walton. You're right there in Snowflake.
But I'm just saying, I think anything with abduction is ultra terrestrial. And yes, I believe our government does know,
yeah.
but they can't control it.
Yeah, I don't know how much input they have.
Probably
you
slim
know
to none.
What I mean? It's like, this is happening. Yeah. And I do believe there probably are some coming over that aren't sanctioned.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as long as the technology is out there and going through these different, you're going to have people that are popping over and doing whatever they want.
Because there's like always been reports of them giant, like cigar shaped ones where you have portals and they
yep.
actually, that people see other people
yep.
looking out the portals, watching them. That's from a different dimension. Like, hey, this is what could have happened if we did this.
Right.
So I was probably, you know what? It's probably somebody's high school class. Saying, hey,
yeah,
we're going on a field trip today. And it's like, this is what happens if we would have done this. This is how the world would have turned out.
Well, as I was thinking, like Time Cop, where it's like, yeah. oh, you book a vacation, you go to the past. you do these specific things, and then you come back. If you break any of those rules, you're fucked. We're gonna, you know, track you down. But yeah, it's kind of like that, where it's like, here's a educational trip over to this dimension to see. Here they you know,
they're still using fossil fuels.
Right? Yeah. They had a third of their population destroyed back in this year. We didn't have any of that, and it set them back, you know, 1,000 years.
I think like a big cigar shades with people looking out, and people, I think like 3 or 4 reports of it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, that's a goddamn field trip. That's all it is. It's a field trip.
Because why else do you need ports all over it just to be flying over?
And you see people like staring out and like,
yeah,
oh, well, look at that technology. That's pretty caveman-like.
Yeah, it's very much like a high-tech zoo.
Yeah.
You know, like, come over, see the apes run around in their modern cities, quote. yeah, no, I can see that, man. Yeah, no, I really do love the idea of the interdimensional, and I do think that is a lot of what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say, even back thousands of years where people were picked up and stuff, even going into biblical stories of like, who was it, Methuselah, lived all these years, had disappeared and then came back.
Yep.
And yeah, no, he was taken dimensionally somewhere else and came back. I don't even want to get into, say, like the Anunnaki and Sumerian kings who reigned lived for 7,000 years.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of a whole different thing, man.
But also, too, it's like if you look at that iconology,
yeah,
between Aztecs, Anunnaki, and even some Southwest American Native American tribes, yep, they all are carrying what looks like to be a purse.
Yeah,
that's a symbol of some sort, meaning something,
right?
Because even our astronauts are carrying it. It's like they got the purse. You got some pictures like that. It's for like life support and that. Aztecs, like I said, Aztec Anunnaki.
Yep.
It's something. So it's already saying, hey, they've been here. Even with the Hindu, they have it. Yeah. Some of them are carrying the purse. Like it's over every major civilization has their founders carrying this purse-like thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, do they all like purses? Or
right. Yeah, it's like a side satchel that they're carrying around, and it's there is no definitive on what they are. I've heard multiple excuses of, oh, it's this artistic rendering of everywhere.
Yeah,
the same artistic rendering.
Yeah, all at different times.
You know, that kind of defies reason to some extent.
But one thing I have to say, if it's ultra-terrestrials, please come visit me. I really want to visit you because I know you're probably listening to this.
Right. One of these idiots.
Yeah. And I just want to bring back dragons. That'd be awesome. Bring back dragons. That's all I want.
Just send a couple over.
Yeah.
I'm sure that won't end in chaos whatsoever. Good Lord. Oh, my God. But, yeah, no, it's. And then you also have the offshoots ideas of the ultra-terrestrials, where it is actually time travel.
Yeah.
People from what we're seeing are humans and people we have met with in the future working together, coming back for whatever reasons to research things in their own past, which is us. Again, I find this one a little harder. Time travel is always a little bit harder for me to choke down. Just scientifically, it's really difficult, I think.
Yeah.
Like we said, our last episode, getting a visual of things that have happened,
mm-hmm,
is different than moving,
being physically there,
right in that time. Now, nothing saying that far in the future, they haven't figured out how to do it.
Well, there's, if you look at that, like to kind of point to that, the time travel thing, like the Socorro incident.
Oh yeah.
That's where they're saying like these. If you really dig in the Socorro incident. That almost, because the guy, the cop who saw him said, yeah, they had U.S. flags on their uniform.
Yeah.
So that makes me think them are actually time travelers from a different dimension that got the ability to do that, but, or, I mean, no, not from their dimension, from our same dimension, in the future. From
future. Yeah, there are a few that pop up where I'm like, okay, maybe.
But you would think they'd show up like more obvious places. I don't know about time travel.
It, right.
Well, here's an example. If you were to time travel, we had a discussion last
week. Yeah.
But it's just like, where do you pick and choose? What are fixed points in the timeline, let's say,
right,
that you have to go back to get samples from? Because that's what these guys did. They came in Socorro. They got out of their spaceship, grabbed some samples. They saw the cop and like, oh, shit. And they get back in the vehicle, egg-shaped vehicle, and they take off.
Yeah, that wasn't supposed to be here, you know. And there again, I suppose even looking back in time, you don't have all the information of what may have happened. So, I mean, even
that's
looking
back,
because
it's government ran, probably.
Right. Well, I mean, even looking back 50 years, would you be able to predict whether somebody was going to park right outside here? No, you have big events that are happening, but the minutia is a whole lot harder to track down, you think, going back in time with that. And maybe it is one of those where they figured out where they're going and they are accurate enough to just kind of blend in a lot of times with stuff where you don't notice.
Yeah.
Or maybe that occasionally that one guy you see who's dressed slightly off is, you know, a time traveler.
I'm not a time traveler the way I'm dressed.
This is pretty close to that time period. It's, I mean, look at even in modern era fashion. There's a big difference from landing in the U.S. and trying to assimilate in 78 as opposed to 83.
Yeah.
Like it's a bigger, be like, oh, man, look at this idiot. Still wearing these, you know.
But, like, we can go down this route with Ultratrestle, because Keel mentioned this. He's a big one in this.
Yeah. There are a lot of big names, actually, that have kind of gone over into the Ultratrestle.
I actually bought a list of books I want to buy.
Heineck is another big one that is.
LeVay.
Yep. That have all kind of
but
gone
Keel
down.
Actually, I could see, like, with the Ultratrestles, and there's a really good TV program called The Fringe.
Oh, yeah.
Dealing with MIBs, and they're like Ultratrestles because they look enough human, but they're just off enough to where they stick out, where they don't have eyebrows and that.
Yeah.
If you quick glance, they pass, but you're like, there's something wrong with that guy, but I got shit I got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
MIBs are actually considered Ultratrestrials.
Yeah.
Because they're like them are the time traveler ones that are from our future.
Yep.
And then so with the Fringe hits on. But even before the Fringe talked about it, Keel was mentioning it. And everybody else was like, they're there, but they're just not quite right.
Right. And which, you know, of course, have led to multiple theories on what they actually are. But because on first glance going by them, they may seem a little odd, but not enough that you're going to be like, I don't want to be rude. The guy looks kind of weird.
Yeah.
A prolonged exposure, you're going to notice odd things. You're like, oh, that's why that looks weird. Oh, why the fuck doesn't they have that? You know, things
so,
like that.
So, okay, I want Ultratrestrials to come visit me. Men in Black got to come visit Marty. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Might as well. Any men can come visit me. Okay. No, it's...
That's not this type of podcast.
Stop. This isn't your OnlyFans. It probably makes more money than my OnlyFans would if it existed. MIBs are definitely, I think, pretty much generally put into the ultra-terrestrial.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, the early UFO guys that have now gone over into the ultra-terrestrial more than extraterrestrial.
I think they're all dead, aren't they?
A lot of them, yeah.
Well, some of the people...
Hopefully, most of them, I don't think, were accidents, but...
Yeah, most of the ones... Causes. Like, most of the big names that went to ultra-terrestrial side is John Keel, Heineck, Valet, Grush.
Grush, yeah, that one is a current name being thrown around. Who has... And see, this is where I have issues... has very blatantly gone, well, you know, yeah, they could be from, you know, other worlds, but not outer worlds. So it's like, okay, are you throwing disinformation? Or are you throwing little bits of nuggets of truth you have to put out here?
You ever heard of this guy, Mac Tunies?
The name is familiar.
He was he died in 2009, was an American author and blogger who worked focused on futurology and transhumanism and paranormal topics. He grew up in Independence, Missouri, attended William Christman High School at Ottawa and Ottawa University. He has a crypto-terrestrial hypothesis.
Oh, okay.
The crypto-terrestrial hypothesis was developed in Tunney's blog, Tunney's or Tunney's, and later published after he died. It proposes that the beings that are speculated to be behind UFOs and alien abductions are actually a mysterious and secret race of earthly origin, technically speaking, the type of cryptid, hence the name from ancient Greek. According to Tunney's theory, these races have existed on Earth for at least as long as humanity and present themselves as extraterrestrials or occult beings. This theory has some elements in common with certain aspects of interdimensional UFOs hypothesis, such as Jacques Vallée's control system, something Tunney himself remarked in his work multiple times. Somehow I've also suggested that it is an extension of the idea of Richard Shaver.
Hmm.
We've already mentioned it, like cryptids being that, which makes sense because
yeah,
I love Bigfoot. I really do. I know he's out there. I know he's real.
Right.
But I'm like, there's so many stories of him just like disappearing and blinking.
Yeah,
and we've talked about this numerous times with my theory on what he is.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories out there of weird things that wouldn't go with a natural animal.
And it's just like, you know, there's two stories that always come back to my mind dealing with Bigfoot and Dogman. One is in White Patterson. They actually had a Bigfoot body that had cybernetics in its arm. And the Dogman story that really sticks out to me is about a 3-second, maybe 5 seconds story. These campers were walking down this trail, and on one side of the trail, they seen Dogman cross their path, and he could see it's messing with it. It had something on its arm like a giant wrist rod.
Yeah.
I'm like, then by the time it hit the other side of the trail, it disappeared.
Yeah.
And they're just low-lying brushes, and they're like, it showed up, walked across the trail, and disappeared.
Right.
It's like less than 5 seconds.
Yep.
And the thing didn't even pay attention. It was more worried about looking at its phone on its arm.
Yeah, it was trying to take that message.
Yeah,
and it was like, "Oh shit, I better go." All right.
But it's just weird things like that. It's like makes me think that the cryptid hypothesis is actually very much true.
Right. Now I know when it comes to cryptids, there are some people that say it's an easy, convenient out, which is why you can't find them. But it does make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't doubt that these things are out there.
Have a guest coming on that may tell us different.
That maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's the idea that it's a
they're flesh and blood. I'm not right. They are flesh and blood.
Yeah, they are here.
Yeah,
Are they here all the time?
No,
I think that is a real possibility that they are in and out.
Yeah.
Again, accidentally or intentionally.
So for the longest time, I actually believed that Bigfoot was he's a flesh and blood creature, but there was a population here. I think they're not. I think they're more of a dimensional type creature now. After we've been doing this for 3 years?
Yeah.
3.5 years or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like my opinions have changed and everything, which is everything, everybody's opinion should always change. You should never stay in stone because then you can't grow.
Right. Yeah, the only time it shouldn't change is when you've proven it to be an absolute fact.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, if you're changing your mind, you're just weak. There's a lot of ideas, even 4 years ago before we started this, of mine that have evolved and changed with different ideas.
That's because I dose you with acid stuff all the time.
Well, that's true, too. And accidentally.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there are a lot of ideas I've had where I was like, you know what, looking into this more, that doesn't make sense. No. And it doesn't make me feel like an idiot because, oh, I believed it. Like, I'm going to stick to it because that's what I said I believe. No, man, it evolved. And the idea is that doesn't work for me anymore. It doesn't make sense. There's not enough pieces saying this could be possible. There are a whole lot more arrows pointing this way that this is the potential of it.
Yeah.
And so then you start looking down that road. You don't completely forget about this road because you never know other shit may pop up. But my ideas on a lot of things, and I've seen a lot of yours change too as we've done this, where it's like, before it's like, oh, it's hardcore this. And now it's like, well, you know what? this makes a whole lot more sense.
That's how we move this whole cryptozoology.
Right.
That's how we move this, all this weird shit we talk about forward
right
into the limelight. It's just like, you have to be willing to change.
Yeah. Now, I'm more than happy if somebody drops down proof that, yes, all the things we're seeing are from another planet. Extraterrestrially, I'm like, okay, cool. All right. We can throw out most of our ideas of interdimensional travel. I'm not going to throw all of them out because there's other weird shit, time slips and weird things like that that I think lends credence to pan-dimensional travel. But yeah, no, you drop proof down that something from another planet way the fuck out is what's been visiting us. Hell yeah, man. All right, that's great. I'm sorry,
the first question I was like, where's the mothership?
Right.
Where's the fucking mothership?
How long's it been hanging out on the other side of the moon? It's not on the other side of the moon. It's, oh, yeah, they got us. We've been bamboozled by the apes.
It's been the moon.
We're bamboozled by the apes. We almost gave that away. But yeah, no, it's, like I said, there's a lot of this stuff. And like I said, this is a whole interesting road to just roll down. Because you can go down a whole lot of weird little paths. More than I even thought they were. And it's something I actually have had credence in for a while. Okay, I'm going down a weird
path here. Rabbits.
Yeah, I hate them. Yep.
Okay. But at least I want to say, you ever heard of High Brazil?
Oh, yeah.
High Brazil, you know what that was? The population of High Brazil was?
No.
4-foot-tall bipedal rabbit-looking creatures.
Oh.
Yeah. If that doesn't scream like back then they were called fairies.
Yeah.
But at High Brazil, it was like supposed to be off the coast of England.
Yep.
That could have been an ultra-terrestrial. It's like, hey, we're just going to set up shop here. Our mothership landed in the ocean. We're going to check this out.
Right. They seem to have things that look kind of like us. Yeah. They're tiny. They don't carry weapons.
But it's just like, then you go into the Fae realm. It's just, this is whole ultra-terrestrial thing. It's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah.
And it's all got some validity, but it also has no validity.
Right. There are parts of me that want to hate it because in essence, it's saying Fae are not what we've always thought Fae were. But at the same time,
but if you look
it
at,
doesn't shoot down all my ideas either. But if you look
at Fae, too, they're considered angelic type beings. They're divinity. They're divine spirits. Yep.
Right. It's one of those where it's like, these could all be the same things we've been talking about. They've just taken new form depending on the era.
Yeah.
Or who is even seeing them.
Jeff the Mongoose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jeff crazy, or Jeff. I can't.
Crazy little Jeff. Crazy little Jeff. But yeah, no, it's like I said, there is still that part of me that wants to rally against changing those ideas because I've had them so long. But at the same time, it's like, does it really change it though? Yeah, they're not a mystical, magical creature, but in essence, they still are. It's still something from another dimension. Okay, they still function in my head. You know, it still works for me.
Well, I have to go back to the Bigfoot thing for a minute.
Right.
I have friends that are hunters, and they go out elk hunting.
Yep.
All like in the Rockies and that. And they're like, I say, hey, if you see anything about Bigfoot, they know I'm the weird neighbor.
Right, right.
And now I don't know if it's harder to explain this to them, but they're like, oh, they're all big about trail cam. So you would have been caught on trail cam.
Right.
Then I go to this aspect. I'm like, well, he's actually interdimensional. He's here and not here. Boy, do I lose them guys.
Oh, yeah. No.
And I'm like, they're like, what? I'm like, how much drugs are you on? I'm like, no, you just think about it. There's been so many reports of him, and it's just like, he's here but not here. He can do what he wants.
Right.
And there's been reports in South Dakota.
Yep.
A lot of reports in South Dakota, actually, the more you think about it.
Yeah, no, once you start getting into multiversal, interdimensional, it is kind of like trying to teach us some of the higher level quantum mechanics, where it's almost more than you can handle. Your brain is not ready for that. So it's just like, what are you talking about? Because it is such a higher level than what you're typically looking at. Doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means it's not something in your wheelhouse of knowledge
or thought about.
Yeah. To even be in there, you know,
cause to run a podcast like this, you have to be willing to think about a lot of random shit. Right. How do penguins taste? It's your good penguins recipes.
Right.
That's a callback to our very first episode. That's
like fucking season one, like in the first 3-4 episodes. Yeah. Jesus. Oh man, that does go back. Doesn't feel that long, but it was quite a while ago. Yeah. Oh, God damn it. That cracks me up, actually. But yeah, no, and you start dealing with that. Yeah, it's tough to probably get them on board with that.
Yeah.
I mean, and trail cams, we ourselves have seen some pretty...
Yes, we've had people send us some really interesting pictures from trail cams.
I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I trail cams do pick things up, but if you have something that's aware of it and also has technology, if you will, it's probably easy to pretty much avoid a trail cam. Even most people, if you're paying attention, you can see them and avoid it. Yeah. You know, if you don't want to be seen walk around on that, my
clown outfit.
Right. I just get the old Speedo cranked in and just start doing
a little leopard dance print in front going of it. On with the old mastodon hanging out.
Act surprised when I see it. It's like, no.
Actually, I got to find my brother's trail cam. He's got trail cams out on the farm. He's going to be interesting for some pictures.
Hell yeah. Poor bastard. No idea what he's in for this next spring.
No, he doesn't.
But yeah, no, it's wild. But yeah, no, it's a cool subject to look into. And like I said, if you're like us, you've spent a lot of time going down extraterrestrial stuff and maybe haven't really even dipped into this side of thinking on it, it's interesting as hell to go down through and just start kind of looking and make up your own mind of like, oh, yeah, that explains a lot of things here. You know, it's interesting as hell.
We're not trying to tell you what you think. This is just all in our opinion. And we're like... this makes more sense to us than anything else.
And like I said, the last couple of years, I think I've really come on board with that idea more than extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Again, because to me, there are a lot more arrows showing that is probably potentially more likely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everyone make up their own mind, but yeah, go look into it yourself and be like, okay, what the hell are these guys babbling? It's wild. There's a lot of stuff to it. There really is.
So have you got anything else for our wonderful listeners?
I don't. Shout out again to anybody Internet News One. Anybody going to be in Vegas?
Yep.
Basically, April Fool's Day through that Thursday.
But we're actually going to be there.
we are going to be there.
Yeah.
That Thursday we probably
I think
won't
the
be
first
around,
shot we're going to drink is a scorpion shot.
Yeah, and that we're going to get basically as soon as we fly into town.
The first night
and
might
then, be. And then go to bed.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a long night.
Yep.
But, that Thursday, I think that week, or Wednesday.
Wednesday
that week, we'll be busy. We'll be
I'm going to see if I can get federal charges.
Yeah, we'll try. But, yeah, we'll be.
Marty might have some federal charges on him, not me.
we'll be locked up that day, I think, till like 6
and
or 7.
And getting probed.
But, even that night, we'll be around somewhere. Oh, yeah, if anybody's going to be around, throw us a yell and be like, hey, man, we're going to be down here.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, we'll meet you down there in a half hour or whatever. Yep. We'll go get a couple drinks, bullshit for a little bit, then wander off. That's kind of what it is.
All right, folks. Everybody have a good night. Bye.